Right now at the Disneyland Resort, you can save when you stay just steps away from all the magic. Save up to 25% on select rooms at a Disneyland Resort hotel. Visit Disneyland.com or call your travel agent to book for select nights now through April 12, 2018. There's no better time to get more happy. Savings based on the non-discounted price for the same room at the same hotel. Excludes applicable fees and taxes. Subject to restrictions and change without notice. Separate theme park admission required to enjoy the parks.
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa News of PapaNews.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjure Man Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Professor Ames of Skullbone Emporium in Fort Collins, Colorado, bringing us today's topic on powwows, or the long-lost friend. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjure Man Ali. Miss Cat?
Hello. Hi, Papa Newt. Hi. Nice to hear your voice. Boy, things have been rather chaotic around here, so the first thing I'm going to do is warn you all. We had a lengthy power outage earlier today. And if I drop off, it's because the power went out again, okay? Just letting you all know. Those things happen in the winter out here in the country, and I know that Professor Porterfield has suffered similar indignities, and I'm just crossing my fingers that we will be online. But if I go, the rest of you can carry on, okay? The only other stuff I have to say is, it has been very, very cold here, and I think we lost a few of our beautiful little succulents around the train layout, but lucky for us, there's these people in Salinas who keep on breeding the little succulents in greenhouses, and we'll probably have a bunch more when springtime comes again. So want to give a shout-out to everybody at the shop and everybody at the church. People have been really doing well, stepping up to the plate, getting things done. We are maintaining our level of production at a very high level, both in the church and at the shop. I think that our days of being behind are behind us, and so I want to give everyone a thank you. I also want to send out a little prayer to my friend Bob Cassidy, who is in the hospital right now, a man who I've known for a number of years, a wonderful person, and he's not doing too well, and it doesn't look like he'll graduate from my course, let's just put it that way, which he took primarily as a courtesy, I think, because he wanted to see what I was doing. But I don't suppose he'll hear this, but if any of you have a moment to spare for a prayer for the comfort and the peace of Bob Cassidy, we'll just see how well we can get him through. All right. I'm going to turn this over to Conjure Man Ali. How are you, friend? What's up with you?
Hello, Count. Doing well, trying to stay warm in the cold. It is quite interestingly cold down here in Southern California. keeping nice and snuggled up, doing lots of fun work. It's that time of the year where people are interested in knowing what 2017 has in store for them. So I do my favorite type of work, or favorite type of readings, I should say, and that is life readings or year readings. What does the year hold for us? What does the year hold for my clients? What does the future look like? Lots of people trying to clean out, cleanse out the old, and start fresh. And that's always, you know, I think some of my favorite work. It's work that is rewarding, it's work that is uplifting, and it's work that I think fits perfectly with the season and starting things off fresh. So I've been doing lots of cleansing work, van work, readings to that regard, and really just enjoying the kind of what the season brings in regards to clients. You and I often remark how there's a certain weather, if you will, or seasons for different types of work. And even people who aren't aware of it consciously, right? They don't go, oh, well, I'm going to time my cleansings according to the seasons or time my, you know, work according to the seasons. They'll fall into that kind of weather pattern, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So just
yeah.
Noting that and enjoying what that's bringing this time around.
Yeah, well, we're going to get ready for our yearly shop cleaning. That's going to be coming around at the new year. And this is a good time, Ollie, for me to remind folks, we will not be on the air with a new show on Christmas because Christmas falls on a Sunday and there's just too many people going away. And Hanukkah falls on Christmas Eve, so we're just not getting it together. And we will also be doing a rebroadcast on New Year's. So if you missed a show, we hope we play the right one for you. But those will be repeats on those 2 weeks. Two rebroadcasts in a row. Well, whenever one of them goes down, the other one goes down.
So next week and the week after.
Yeah. Christmas.
And New Year's. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, in any case... I want to move on into the show. So we're going to bring in Professor Ames. Now, before I do, I just want to let you know, Professor Ames is a member of AIR. He is a wonderful one of our teams of professors at AIR, a word that is both honorary and I guess it's sometimes used as an honorary name, but it's also sometimes used as an actual name. And he is a teacher, a professor, actually, and he is a professor of root work. And so, Ames, there you are out in Colorado. Let's just start by saying hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
It is a balmy 5 degrees here, so.
Oh, my Lord, 5 degrees. Oh,
yeah.
My.
We have about 8 inches of snow on the ground, so it's winter here in Colorado.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Well, phew. Professor Ames has brought us a topic that we have never discussed on this show, although, you know, we've occasionally discussed it, but never on the radio show, never archived for the ages. So this is a great opportunity to bring it along. And the topic is Powwows or the Long Lost Friend, which is... a book that is been in print since the 1820s in English and in German in America, but even has roots that date back farther than that. Now, I'm going to just bring a little bit along. Oh, Papa Newt beat me to it. Go to luckymojo.com/powwows.html. That's POWWOWS. .html. I'm sorry, did I say .com? .html. luckymojo.com/powwows.html. And Papa Newt says in the chat room, I was prepared. Baby, you're always prepared. Papa Newt's the Boy Scout. So this book is something that doesn't seem like it fits. It's one of these things, when you study African-American culture, you go, I don't get it. How'd that get in there? But the way it got in is kind of through a side door. the Pennsylvania Dutch people are not Dutch to begin with. They're German. And Dutch is a English-American corruption of the word Deutsch, which means German. And so is Dutch, actually, but that's a whole other story. But the Pennsylvania Dutch are German immigrants, and they came to Pennsylvania early on in America's history. They brought with them their own folklore, folk traditions, and for one reason or another, most of them did not learn English for a long time, and especially the ones who were Amish or Mennonite, who didn't want to join modern society and had really come to America to live a kind of an old-fashioned life, they didn't bother to learn English. They were sort of an included population. Well, as time went on, there was a guy who kind of reached out to the English language community. And this guy's name was Johann Georg Hohmann. And he changed his name for the purpose of publishing, but not for actual activities, to John George Hohmann. And he wrote a book, and it was called Der lange verborgene Freund. But it's not original to him. And he kind of picked up a little bit of this and that from different places, and you can kind of find the sources of a lot of what he wrote. It's a compilation, contains some original things, some old things, some borrowed, some new. And it is not just a book of magic. It contains material on how to make medicines for cattle, how to heal human illnesses. And it was written with respect to German culture so that there were certain, what we might call, endemic medical problems that are not shared by English people. They don't see these same types of problems. Not that they don't have them, but the folk medical reasoning behind certain types of cures varies from culture to culture, so this is Germanic. Well, the book is really does not mean the long-lost friend. Verborgene does not mean lost, but it could be hidden or the long secret. And friend doesn't really mean, Freund means friend, but it doesn't really mean a friend in this case. It means your go-along, your thing you carry with you, your vademecum. So this is a book of, basically it's saying this is a book of hidden secret knowledge that you should carry with you. That's what the book is about, and that is what it is. Well, he translated it into English himself, and his English was rather poor. And it was then later translated by somebody else who had really good English, I think after Hohmann was dead, and they published it, but their German was poor, and so they got some of the names of the herbs wrong, because he had actually looked up what these herbs were and translated them into English, but, you know, they come back the next time someone come up with a new name. So, for instance, an herb that was plantain in the original, which is not, I do not mean banana plantains, but the goosegrass, the plantain that grows in the lawn is a weed. That got translated to knotweed and other things. So this book has been lost in translation more than one way. But the question is how to get into hoodoo. And the way it got into hoodoo, to make a long story short, is that, and y'all have heard me talk about this, there were a lot of German Jewish pharmacists and a lot of German Jewish chemists who served African-American population. And there were no books on hoodoo around in the 1870s, 1880s. After emancipation, people are like, oh, hey, well, I want a book now. I want to read something. And these Ashkenazi Jews, particularly the Wayman brothers, and there were a few others, the Ottingers and so forth, they translated The Long-Lost Friend into their own version of revised English. So there's several different translations available. And they said, well, this is magic that we understand because we know German, so now we know English, so now it's in English, we'll give it and sell it. So it was sold into the black community starting in the 19th century. And it is the largest inclusion of European folk magic in hoodoo because it all comes in one big lump, in one big book. But if you're interested in European folk magic, it's a fabulous book, and of course it's also popular among Appalachian folk magicians who were of English and Irish background, and For those who study Scandinavian trolldom, Swedish, Norwegian, and Danish trolldom, you'll recognize some of the same spells, because Swedish trolldom pulls some of its stuff out of what's called the Wittenberg documents, or the Schwarz books, which are these so-called black books, little handwritten recipe books or books of shadows, and they contain German spells. And the most interesting parts of A Long-Lost Friend are these rhyming spells that rhymed in German, but when you say them in English, they don't rhyme. But you can tell them by the style they are. So if you get The Long-Lost Friend, and we sell a version of it at the shop, which is the Daniel Harms edition, but there's other editions, there are many editions, but I like this Daniel Harms edition. You'll get the gist of the book, but also what you should keep in mind is have a copy of Johannes Gardbach's book, Trolldom, where he talks about the forms of spoken spells, especially those that are called the walking spells, that may be like, as Mary was out walking, she saw the devil. Where are you going, devil? She said, I'm going to N.N.'s house to cause him a headache. No, devil, said Mary, you must not go, cause no harm. You know, and it's like it's a little spoken formula. The Long-Lost Friend has variations of those kinds of spells in them, but they never became as popular in hoodoo, because hoodoo doesn't have an African tradition of rhymed spells like that. But hoodoo has a huge tradition of roots and herbs. And so the roots and herbs in The Long-Lost Friend entered into hoodoo, have been incorporated in hoodoo for, oh my gosh, well, like I said, since the 1870s, 1880s, they are now part of African-American culture. And for those who wish hoodoo to be purely African, all I can say is... try to play jazz without a trumpet. Good luck. You know, I mean, it's a mix. Mm-hmm. It's a mix. But The Long-Lost Friend is an amazing book. Now, that's my introduction to it. And Professor Ames also put a little thing in the chat room here. Ozark magic drives a lot for The Long-Lost Friend. That is true. And when I was in the Ozarks, one of the reasons I went to the Ozarks was to learn Ozark folk magic. And they rely very heavily on The Long-Lost Friend. It's considered almost like a second Bible in a way. All right, so I'm going to bring in Professor Ames and let him have his say, but you heard what I had to say. Take it away.
You covered a lot of really great stuff. So as you said, Holman was an immigrant. He came to the United States around 1802 with his wife and son. Harms claims that he was a redemptionist, so he had someone pay for his trip over and paid them back as an indentured servant, which is pretty interesting. But he also had this history already of being a publisher and writer. A lot of people claim, you know, this is the first American grimoire, and it seems to our modern eye that this is so unique as a document, but it's from a whole body of literature, which in German would have been Hausvater literature or Hausvater literature. Very common in Germany. It would have been very common amongst the immigrants that were in Pennsylvania at that time. And it's geared toward small farm owners. A lot of the stuff relates to animal husbandry, a few recipes like brewing beer and cider and those great things. And then a lot of prayers and these sort of mix of sympathetic magic and these charms that you're talking about, which I think are really fascinating, kind of the hallmark of this this type of work. But it was not an unusual one, but for some reason it took hold. It formed the basis of the Pennsylvania Dutch powwow tradition, the brakerij. So it is their main source as well, and of course variations on it. And it does seem to travel, I think, orally through the Appalachians, and from the Appalachians jumps to the Ozarks, and of course lots of different publications. I think the first English, first published in German, 1820, first English publication, 1846. I'm lucky enough to have an 1860s, version of it, which is really fascinating. And it's a little bitty. It's on about 5x3. So it would have been something that someone could carry with them, the carry along. And according to Holman himself, It provides magical protection to anyone who owns it and carries
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here. I got to jump in on here, too. This book is always small. It's always printed. The one thing about the Daniel Harms edition with all the great footnotes and all that, it's too big. The book is always tiny. And I have a couple of small ones, too. And it's very interesting to me. And for those who've taken my course, you'll know who I'm talking about when I talk about Jim Jordan, African-American root worker from North Carolina. He in interviews with the guy who wrote his biography, F. Roy Johnson, and in interviews with his family after he passed, where his sister was interviewed, they all explained that he learned about magic from two sources, a black man named Old Edloe, who was a root worker, and this other guy. And the other guy was a white man who kind of befriended him and who had a little book. And this man taught him out of this little book. And I would bet you dollars to donuts, that's got to be that book, because it was always published in this very diminutive size. Just had to say that. And Jim Jordan used things like Five Finger Grass, which is, you know, pretty much promoted throughout powwows. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, absolutely. So then I was fascinated in this about how does this start to seep into our other magical traditions. Obviously, Pennsylvania Dutch is sort of a core book for them. But I remember as a kid, one of my favorite books was the Foxfire books, right? So which is a compilation series. It was originally articles, but then became a book series. I think there are 7, 8, 9 of them now, of Appalachian folkways. And so there, in the very first book, there is documentation of faith healing. And you use that pattern that you're talking about. So when, I reading the Harms book, then I remembered this being in the first one, it's 367. And here's the memorized verse. And this is to get rid of if someone gets a burn. And it's, there came an angel from the east, bringing frost and fire, in frost, out fire, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right?
Mm-hmm.
So angels and even apocryphal little stories about Mary walking through the land, or Jesus and St. Peter plowing up worms from the ground. Really fascinating little rhymes, but they're very specific. And so I knew this one, and I contacted Rob Chapman, who some of you know is Rob Phoenix now, and in his book, Charms and Cures in Tradition of Pennsylvania Dutch Powwow, he has the same charm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in Holman, but it's clearly derived from that. And so there had to be some sort of an oral tradition that connected those two.
Mm-hmm.
That was really interesting. And then another one that you find in Powwow, I think we've talked about this on the show before, is to get a hung jury or to win a court case, you write the names of the 12 apostles and you put it in your shoe.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That is in Powwow as that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look in Haskett, you have three variations on it. You put 6 in one shoe, 6 in the other, or you write them on sage leaves, or you leave Judas out. That, to me, indicates that probably stopped being a reference book and was part of the oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking
right.
probably at these looks in the 1890s, the folklore, Journal of American Folklore. You know, it was pretty established and integrated by the 1890s or so.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start to see one of my favorite ones, Dulitzik's Ooks. Let me read that one to you. It's to prevent you from being attacked by malicious or wicked people. Dulitzik's Ooks, yea, you can't come over Pontio. Pontio is above Pilato. Bizarre, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But fascinating, because he did put in here some of this European, Western European, almost fake, usually fake Latin, right, to give it some credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably from Pontius Pilate. right? Mm-hmm. Suponcio Polito, she's in the Apostles' mm-hmm. Creed. And it's also kind of a pun. Poncio is very similar to ponte in Italian, the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't come over the bridge because it's over Pilate. So
mm-hmm.
That this shows up, as we know, in Vance Randolph's work, right?
That's right.
So
That's
an
right.
old woman says this is a charm that her grandfather taught her. So we're talking in the 1820s. Well into the, mm-hmm. the 1800s, Julek Six Ooks, you can't fly over Poncio. Poncio is above Pilato. So clearly, this had not only been a book that had gotten circulation, but was so enchanted people that it became part of their oral tradition of the Appalachians, of the Ozarks,
mm-hmm.
and certainly food. So I'm just totally, as you can tell, fascinated and excited about this book. It's really, really amazing.
I also find it to be a really amazing book. I put in some stuff in the chat room, and if you go to that webpage I mentioned that I wrote, you'll find some more in there. He wrote other books. Holman did a book on midwifery and another and a book on animal livestock. They're not all quote by him, but they seem to be by him. In other words, they've been attributed to him. There's nobody else who would have been there at the time, and he seems to be the guy. Vance Randolph was an enormous influence on other folklorists. He went to the Ozarks. He wrote many, many books on the songs of the Ozarks, the spells, magic spells, tall tales. And if you have a chance to pick up any of Vance Randolph's books, you'll see that they're wonderful. I also have to say that my introduction to The Long Lost Friend, about 6 months before I found it in a hoodoo store, I read about it in a fantasy collection of short stories by a guy named Manly Wade Wellman. And these were called the Silver John stories. And he had written them, co-written them, with the help of a guy named Bascom Lamar Lunsford, who was a lawyer turned folk music collector in the Appalachians. And Bascom Lamar Lunsford had quite a recording career. His best song, I think, is called I Wish I Was a Mole in the Ground. Really good stuff. But Manly Wade Wellman, who was from the South, had moved to New York and was writing comic books and magazine articles and things like that. And he began to write this series of stories about this guy who was, I guess you could say, sort of a veteran wandering America, you know, or whatever. He just was sort of a footloose guy, and he just didn't have anywhere to go. And each story, he goes someplace, and a little bit of folklore is woven into the story. But one of the stories was about powwows of the long-lost friend. And I read that, and I, you know, being the daughter of a librarian, I asked my mother, what's that? And she pulls out all the references, and da-da-da, and Albertus Magnus, da-da-da, German folk magic, mm-hmm. this book, da-da-da. And I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. So I was like, I read that story over and over again. I thought, this is so cool. I'm going to go to Appalachia and meet these people who do this. And then, instead, I went down into Oakland in a hoodoo shop, and there's this book, Powwows of the Long-Lost Friend. And, I mean, my amazement. I mean, I just was like, and I wanted to shout and scream, and there was no one to tell it to because they were all like, so what? You know, we've been carrying this book in this shop for 25 years, as long as the shop's been. And I'm like, but you have a classic of Germanic folk magic right here in your hoodoo shop. Don't you understand? No, they, you know, and I'm just like this, I was driven literally mad for a moment. Anyway.
You know, what's particularly fascinating about the powwows is when you think of kind of European magical tradition, you often think about ceremonial magic, right? That is a sort of Renaissance urban tradition of high ritual, deeply influenced by Catholicism. But the powwows and the hikes and masters, and it's a really kind of a folk tradition that's endured, evolved, and practiced. It blends religion, it blends the textual tradition, herb lore, magic, prayer, song, all of that, and it's distilled in powwows and the traditions of the Ozarks. The textual tradition in particular is fascinating because it shows you folk magic, or trying to study folk magic, can be quite difficult because it's not often written down. There isn't a what Freud would call a trace. So it's very hard to kind of follow it and be like, okay, well, where does it go? Where did this idea come from? And there's a lot of speculation that kind of fills in the gaps, whereas with this particular tradition, you can trace the text. So you can see, for example, the influences of Albertus Magnus's book, his Secret Treasure. You can certainly see the tradition of the black books, right, which are interestingly enough also called the Cyprianus, not related to Cyprian, but actually, which is a kind of Iberian Mediterranean tradition. They also have a tradition of black books, but that's related to Cyprian of Antioch. This Northern European tradition of the Cyprianus black books are related much more to a kind of Faustian figure. There's even a different legend of it being actually a nun who rips her rags off in jail and writes the spells down on the rags, and that these become then these books, these known as the Cyprianus, the black books. And all of these black books have very similar kind of traditions to them associated. They are a combination of folk remedies and prayers and magic, herb lore, and they're all small texts that you carry with, and they come out of this tradition of, if you carry this book with you, it'll make you bulletproof. The Bible is another text of that sort that people said if you carried with you would make you bulletproof. The black books are all like that. And you can pick them up in Northern Europe, and you can see the tradition, the Scandinavian magic, the Germanic magic, and see all of that, all of those kind of influences in powwows, in the Ozarks tradition, in the Appalachian tradition, in the Dutch tradition. And the reason why it's so... there's such there's a kind of a bridge or a connection to hoodoo, and that is that folk magic has a lot of, these folk magics have a lot of sympathy with one another. The elements of Christianity that is very familiar to them, prayers to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's herb lore that is very familiar to both people in both traditions. There's prayers that sound similar to them. And so that sympathy allows a sharing to happen. It's why a book like Powwows, with its connections to Albertus Magnus and these Northern European black books, right, become interesting to people who are walking in to hoodoo shops looking for powders and oils and candles, and then they see this text and they take it up. The other element of this that's very important too is that this cannot be broken away from the church itself entirely, right? So the people who were often practicing this one were usually ministers and ministers' wives. It used to be said that, for example, the minister would have the black book, but the wife would know how to do all the healing, right? So there's a deep connection to its Christian roots. It isn't entirely, when we think of folk tradition, folk magic, sometimes it's kind of made out to be entirely pagan or neo-pagan. And while certainly there are pagan elements to it, it is also deeply Christian. And it's a blend of that kind of religious tradition that was practiced by people that makes it what it is today.
That is absolutely true. And I have to say something, too. As a Jewish person, it's obvious that Jewish culture was very influenced by these traditions, too, because some of the same spells which would have been said with Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and so forth, are almost identically word for word said with the prophet Elijah among Jews in Germany. And but there doesn't seem to be a Jewish precedent. So it seems that the Jews picked these up, in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s from their German neighbors and incorporated them in Jewish magic. Although many Jews will argue, oh no, the Jews were there first. But in that particular kind of rhymed spell, I think they actually picked those up from the Anglo-Saxon Germanic tradition of rhymed spells. Now, I also wanted to say something more about powwows. And Professor Ames, you're talking about it, and I'm talking about it too in the chat room, so we're kind of having two conversations here at once. There's a movie called Apprentice to Murder with Donald Sutherland, which is a very good movie based on what were called the powwow murders, which was a real murder of a guy named Mr. Rehmeyer. So why don't you talk about that?
Sure. So the Rehmeyer murder happened I'll try to get a date on that as we're talking. But this guy was accused of being a witch, if you will.
In Pennsylvania. We're talking about in Pennsylvania now.
Mm-hmm. and having in his possession this book. The book mm-hmm. had taken on a talismanic form. Even Holman says, you know, whoever possesses this book will not be, you can't kill them, you can't shoot them, can't drown them, can't bring them to fire, so on and so on. And so it became this really talismanic kind of thing. So these two guys, Brennan, I believe was the name, you know, goes about trying to they end up robbing him for very little. They kill him in the meantime. Blymeyer is the guy's name. And this is in 1928. Yes. We are talking across each other, aren't we? And his motivations were a little unclear, but definitely to take vengeance on him as a witch, as someone who was practicing occult magic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed that he had this book, this magical book, which is the long lost friend in his possession. And I think they burned down part of his house.
That's right.
To try to commit the crime. Really very tragic, and it came very blown out because it started to expose what was a fairly secretive magical practice amongst the mm-hmm. Pennsylvania Dutch. And it really brought it to light because of sort of the horrendousness and the bizarreness of the crime and why they did it.
Yeah, and you know, the movie Apprentice to Murder is based on this, but fictionalizes it in a interesting way, and I really love that movie a lot. It was filmed, however, not in Pennsylvania, but in Norway, and that's kind of interesting. They found a beautiful, I guess you would call it a historical theme park of old farms. And they couldn't find any place in Pennsylvania where they could film that looked as much like that. And the film actually calls back to, again, to the the people who are making this are in Norway with a very similar tradition of these exact same types of spells are used. But what's very funny is in the movie, they set – decorator or the prop master, I guess, made some of these symbols and things. Some of the, if you have my book Paper in My Shoe, you'll also see some of these drawings, because some of the Scandinavian stuff uses little lettering and characters and things like that, little sigils, you might say, and they're unique to powwows or to Scandinavian folk magic or to Germanic folk magic. But the prop master, in making the movie, put into it a bunch of very much older Icelandic and Norwegian Galdr signs from the Galdrbach, because, hey, that's what he knew. So it's this weird combination of Pennsylvania and Norway. It's a great movie. Check it out. My gosh, I wish we could talk about this some more, but we're going to come back with a free spell mm-hmm. from this book, right? All right. So now we're going to go to our readings and take it away, Papa Noon.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Professor Ames, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535. And press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from Seattle, Washington, but calling in from a Chicago area code of 773. This is Jennifer. Jennifer, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hello, welcome. I see that you have been listening to us for the last 4 weekends, and you found us inviting and calm and honest, so I'm so grateful that you allowed us to assist you in your situation. So welcome.
I'm blushing. Thank you. Right back at you.
You're welcome.
No, I do see that you have not had any private readings with Tanjimana Lee or Miss Cat, or have gone to any other readers or reworkers on this situation. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. And Jennifer writes, my 10-year relationship recently dissolved. Fleeing from abuse, I have entered into full survival mode, moving out with no proper means to pay rent. I own and operate an online eco-friendly intimate apparel business, but the cash flow is just not enough. I would like guidance on how to improve financial stability and prosperity for an emergency situation. Turn it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. So, Jennifer, when we do readings, we usually answer a question by doing prediction. But we do not shy away from people who simply want a root work consultation. So with the agreement of yourself and my two cohorts here, I think that's what we're going to give you is root work consultation, because we don't have, there's no, you know, you're not asking am I cursed or anything. You're just asking how do I use hoodoo to improve my business, right?
I believe so. Yes, you broke it down. Perfect.
Okay, great. Well, you know, people call the show for all different reasons, and that's a very uncommon but very valid reason. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, we have the 10-year relationship and fleeing from abuse. Okay, are you safe now?
I am.
Good. All right. What sign of the zodiac are you?
Sagittarian. My birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, my. Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
About how
Thank
old
you.
Are you?
I will be 45.
45. All right. So we have a kind of a picture here. Now, you own and operate an online eco-friendly intimate apparel business, but the cash flow is just not enough. All right. So now I'm going to, since I'm the first reader, and I'm a woman who has been has fled from abuse and has started a business or so, I'm going to give you some magical advice and some practical advice as well. Number one, you have to make sure that you cover all the mundane bases before you even start the magic, because without the mundane things, you can't do the magic, because hoodoo is a form of magic that is based in objects, curios, we call them. So just praying won't always be enough. There's some people just pray, but most people will pray and sprinkle powders. They'll pray and carry a mojo hand. They'll dress some money. They'll dress their business cards. And that brings us to, do you have business cards?
I do, and I actually have done the money spell from 4 weeks ago when I heard that. Rolling candles, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me which spell it was, Rolling Candles.
It was from Aura Forest, and with the yellow dock and the, goodness, cinnamon and sassafras. And
right,
that was
it was
one
a,
of my
a good,
very
yeah.
first spells.
Okay, mm-hmm. I got you. It's a good money herb mix, and that's a good one. Now, I would say that that puts you on a good path. I would like you to get some powders or make some powders, but I'd like you to have some money powder of some sort. And I'd also like you to have some powder that has to do with attracting attention. Could be lodestone is an old-fashioned one, but some people just use attraction, and some people use look me over. Since you're dealing in intimate apparel, look me over might be a good one because it has a slight sexual connotation to it. And you're going to mix, say, look me over powder with, you know, money drawing powder. If you're working out of your home, you could use money house blessing powder because you want the money to come to your home. And you're just going to mix a little bit of those two powders together, and you can use that to dust your business cards. So when you get your business cards, they're in a box. You just use a makeup brush and dust all around the edges, and then flick the edges of the cards, you know, like that, and the excess powder mm-hmm. will fly off. Give those cards out at any opportunity. I always tell people something else too. You want to have two business cards. one business card just has the bare minimum. It has your website, your phone number, your name, the name of your company, whatever it is you want to say about yourself on one side, and the opposite side, the other side, is blank and it is not shiny. And you have a pen with you at all times. And that is the business card on which you write messages to people. You also have a business card that is all words on both sides, and that one might have some, you know, like, use this special code or whatever you want it to have. And that's the business card you give away most of the time. Here, have my card, because it's got twice as much information, but you want one that's blank on the back. And if these cards have been dusted and you hand them to people, you are basically handing them the introduction to your world. Okay, now, the next thing is the objects themselves. Do you have photos of the items?
I do.
And are these photos that you take, or are you marketing them as a franchise or an adjunct seller for another company?
I've been in business for myself for 15 years now, so I have everything. I'm ready to go.
Okay. So the photos of the products, I would either mark those photos in Photoshop, blow them up, make a little dollar sign in them. If they're, say, black, you put it in charcoal gray, won't even notice it when you shrink it back down and put it online. If you have models wearing the products,
yes.
Put a little bit of the actual product. Again, like the powder, or you could use a little bit of oil, depending on what kind of product it is that you're demonstrating, on it as you photograph it. So you actually have that. Use the oils. Again, look me over, money drawing, money house blessing, whatever it is, on your hands when you go to type on the keyboard. The writing that you do will flow from that point of money drawing. I also recommend that you mix cinnamon and sugar and put it around whatever room you're working in or whatever. If you work out of your house, you're just going to put a little cinnamon sugar outside under the mat. Don't put in too much to draw ants, but it will bring money to your door. And if you have favors to ask of people, such as, could you please share my post to your Facebook page? Please, 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 pretty please. Use five-finger grass, make a little tea of it. It's okay to drink it, and it's okay to bathe your hands in it, wash your hands in it, wash your face in it before you make that request. And they will grant your favors if you have five-finger grass, and that comes out of powwows for the long-lost friend, believe it or not. All right, now I'm going to turn this over to Ames and see what he has to say for you.
Yes.
Great. Thanks, Ken.
So I also work with textiles. I'm a weaver. And I'm going to take a little different angle here. So whereas this cat's really and always does a great job of talking about how to manage it as a business with business cards and your product and so forth, I'm going to get a little more intimate, if you will, with the product. I assume you do some hand stitching on these. I would say,
I'm sorry,
do you do hand stitching on these?
I am the producer. Yeah, I'm the manufacturer.
Yes, okay. So take some thread, and I want you to bathe that thread in a little tea. And I would say use money-drawing herbs. In this case, I would use things like calendula and chamomile, which look like gold coins. Something green like alfalfa is very traditional, maybe a little Irish moss. So brew a little bit of that. Run the thread through that and use that when you're sticking into some part of the fabric. That way you put that money drawing with the product. You can use your current base of people who currently buy to buy more, right? So they buy something, they love the product, you're going to generate more income from the people who already exist. And of course, in practical terms, sending them discounts or nice notes, all those things that kind of charm them back into buying more ideas, more products.
Correct.
Wow, that's a really good one. I have to tell you, this reminds me of our good friend and colleague Aura LaForest is a knitter, And she does the same thing with her knitting yarns. She will dress all the knitting yarns with whatever it is for, whether it's protection or safety for your socks so that your feet stay warm, but also spiritually protected so you can't walk into any spiritual messes. And she knits with those prepared threads. Very good way to work. Yeah.
Wow, love it.
Yeah, that's excellent. Now, let me turn this over to Ollie. What do you have to say?
I think that you've received some fantastic advice so far. Kat read my mind when she said, look me over. I was going to shout it. Exactly the type of product you want to use for the line of work that you're doing. The look me over is great. Cleo May is another one that you might want to look at. A lot of people think of Cleo May as only worked as, you know, an oil that is just for, you know, fast love or for men to pay or for sex workers. But it's also great to sell items, particularly items that are intimate or what you would be selling. Cleo May works great for that. So that's another product that you could look at. And a good combination would be something like Money Drawing, Look Me Over, and Cleo May. You could use the three of them together to really sell. I would recommend, in addition to all the great advice that you were given, to wear your products if you can. People don't have to see it, but if you smoke the products or you've added some scent to it and you wear it out, that is a very good way of drawing clients to you. Wear your product, hand out your business cards when you do so. Go to places that would be interested in buying, for example, what you're selling, and or if you have clients already, give them two cards or three cards, one for them. These are cards that you've dusted, as Ms. Kat has said, and, you know, others to hand out. But wearing your products is also very good. It's a good way of drawing attention spiritually, even if they can't physically see what you're wearing. In addition to that, what I would recommend is a jar spell, and that is something that you can keep near your laptop or nestled in with your products or on a completely separate altar. I like jar spells because they're nice and contained. I'm also I'm an earth sign. I'm a Taurus. I like that tactile way of working. They're my go-to for most of the type of conjure. And you can make one. Put your business card in there with a little bit of alfalfa and alkanet. The reason I always include those is money is the easiest thing to get jinxed, and it's also something that needs to be protected. I was always told to protect your money, especially when you are in a situation where your finances are a little bit rocky. Alfalfa and alkanet combined can protect poverty or any sudden expenses, as well as protecting it from jinxes. So alfalfa and alkanet, put some five-finger grass in there. Put some cinnamon, some sugar, which is the combination that Kat mentioned, absolutely fantastic for what you're looking to do. I would put in a little bit of just a pinch of catnip to draw people to you, as well as rose petals. This brings that kind of intimate element to the work that you're doing, in addition to the kind of money that you have in there. You can then close up that jar and shake it up. Some people burn candles on them. You can burn candles and shake it up, whichever you prefer. But these type of jars I shake up personally. This is why I use sugar over honey. You shake that jar up and you call out and you pray, say, I'm calling clients to you. They're drawn to purchasing your products and giving money to you. I would also recommend doing some work with the Crystal Silence League. You want a group of, and this is a place where you can put in a free spell. And the reason I recommend that is because it's not just about building a business, which is what you're clearly trying to do, but also because of the circumstances you're in. You're in a situation where you need spiritual allies, people that will stand with you, who will pray alongside you, because you're wondering, do you have enough money to pay rent? Are you, you know, you don't have a secure form of income quite yet. So it is important to have some type of spiritual security net, right? that's going alongside the work that you're doing that gives you the wiggle room you need so that you can start doing things like jars and powdering things. So start off with the crystal silently and then add each element that we've discussed from as you're able, for example. Maybe your first thing you can do is the sewing that was recommended to you, the stitching that was recommended to you. And then maybe you, that leads up to you being able to get the powders, then use the powders on your business card. Add each one of these as you're able. Don't feel like you need to wait until you get everything together and then start it. No, start little by little. Maybe the first thing you can do is the crystal silently. And the next thing you can do is you can get yourself the calendula and you can do the stitching. And maybe the next thing is the powder. Little by little, add as you can so that you're building towards your prosperity. Work with the products that you recommended. Look Me Over, Cleo May, Money Drawing, Attraction is another particularly good one. And build up towards your prosperity. That would be my recommendation. We have a few more minutes, I think. Let's see.
Yeah, well,
Professor Ames, have anything further to add?
Yeah, I want to just catch up. Ames said something in the chat room. Network and partner with a strong female retail business owner, especially an earth sign. He's right, because as a Sag, you're more of a flickering fire, and you may have a lot of good ideas, but earth signs are the ones who are kind of the plotters, and they will definitely get to the goal eventually. they're the ones who stick with it long. So if you can find yourself an earth sign to help you, that's good. And another thing I would say here too, and this goes to the idea of your stuff is online. Use as many online venues as you can: Facebook, Instagram. I'm sure you're doing all of those things. Try to reach out to people through all those different venues. And one final thing I'd like to say to you is there's a book called The Sporting Life by Professor Porterfield. Now, this is a book about drug dealing, prostitution, bootlegging, and living outside the law. However, and I know this is not exactly what you're selling, but there is a lot of sexually oriented spell work in there that goes well with selling intimate apparel. Let's just put it that way. And I think that that book would give you some clever, interesting ideas, especially some of the ideas that Professor Porterfield collected from the people whom Harry Hyatt interviewed in Memphis. And you can just look that up when you get to the book. There's some good stuff in there, and it's a book that has a beautiful attitude toward doing what you got to do and getting what you got to get where you got to get. Don't forget to network with other people and, keep other people in your circle. And, it's a hard thing to have a business on your own. So, and especially coming out of an abusive situation where you've really been torn down to the bricks and you got to start all over. So I really wish you well. And I think that the Crystal Silence League will be a great benefit to you too. If you have friends who can form a kind of a posse or crew with you who are other women, who maybe sell through Etsy or however you all are doing this, I'd use every venue, my own website, Etsy, whatever you can. Get your name of your company known. So tell us now, what is the name of your company?
Sure. The name of the company is Under the Root.
Under the Root. Okay.
Yes.
And what is your URL?
Undertheroot.com.
Okay.
And I've been, Etsy, my own website, of course. And I've been online since 2005. Long time.
Okay. All righty. So now everyone, you got a few more thousand listeners, and they know who you are. Undertheroot.com, Intimate Apparel by Jennifer. Handmade. And offer people some special services, like a fix it for love for them. All right. Good luck to you, babe. Now we're going to go to our next reading. But before that, we're going to have some slices of life from Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandreworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling from area code 718 in Brooklyn, New York. This is Christy. Christy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you guys?
Doing well. Welcome to the show. I see you're a new caller, but you've been listening to us every week, every Sunday in the archives. So I welcome you to our show, hon.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, I do see that you have not had a private reading with Miss Cat or Contramental Lee, or have gone to any other readers or reworkers on your situation. Is that correct?
Yes, I haven't had the pleasure yet.
Not a problem, hon. And Christy Rice, I would like a brief reading on what 2017 will look like for me. Turning it back to you, Miss Cat.
Oh, well, all right. Well, we're going to have Ollie and Ames do your readings, but I'm gonna give them a little leg up here. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I am a Cancer, and my moon is in Taurus. So.
Cancer with the moon in Taurus. And about how old are you?
I turned 30 in July, so it was a rough year.
You're just through your Saturn return. All right,
yes.
Let's turn it over to Ollie and see what he sees for 2017.
Thanks, Kat. I was talking about yearly readings earlier in the show, so this is...
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
This is very fitting, and I'm very happy to do this sort of reading for you. I have a couple questions of my own. First and foremost, are you currently in a relationship, or are you seeking a relationship?
I am currently in a relationship, yes.
Okay, good. There are a few things here that come up that I think you should be aware of. The very first card that I have, and this is talking about what you're coming out of, is the Five of Wands. The Five of Wands tells us that 2016 has not exactly been the perfect year for you, that it has been a bit rough. It's been a struggle, and it's really been a lot of things clashing with one another, competing and taking away energy and time for you, and you trying to maintain some level of harmony in your own life. The Five of Wands talks about energy that is scattered. It talks about a life that is going in multiple directions. It talks about out difficulties and having to deal with them, and not just one difficulty or two difficulties, but things happening like kind of right one after the other, and you having to be able to kind of trudge along and deal with them as they come up. This can be particularly difficult for who you are as a person. You said you were a Cancer with a Taurus moon. That combination, when you have that many difficulties, something that throws you off balance, it can throw you off balance for a while, and it can be hard to deal and overcome with that. Cancers have a natural inclination to retreat, and Tauruses sulk when things don't go their way. And comfort is very important for both of those sides. So being thrown off balance is not a good thing. But it does tell, and it's very important that we start off the reading recognizing that, because that tells us that 2017 is going to be a year that tries to swing back, that the pendulum goes back in the other direction. And it takes time for that to happen. So don't expect January to suddenly be a big turnaround, or that the new year happens and then, wham, things are great. This is about kind of digging yourself back out, or understanding that the pendulum takes time to swing, right? That there's a duration there. So because of the what you had to deal with, of the one after the other, it is going to take a little bit before you reach that equilibrium that you so need. But that you will eventually get there, that it takes time, but that you will indeed get there. And the reason I ask, if you were in a relationship, is because the key is going to actually be the relationship itself. Working in interpersonal fashion with your partner and building on that relationship will actually have an impact on the rest of your life, on the rest of your situation. And I see this very strongly in the Lover's card, which, now I should be clear, I didn't make this clear. What I did is I actually pulled out an entire Wheel of Life for you. So I'm looking at multiple cards.
Oh, wow,
cards.
Thank you.
I'm only mentioning a few because I can't go through all 12 of them here.
Gotcha.
But, so we have the Lovers right in the seventh house, right? So the astrologers out there will perk up. They know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm saying this is very important. It's not accidental that the Lovers appear there. Love and your relationship is going to be very important. Your partner working, kind of turning inwards, going, okay, I need to focus on my partner and what will
right.
I have at home is going to impact the base and foundation for the rest of the year. This is important because you're a Cancer and you also have Taurus there. For both of those signs, having a happy home is the key to having a happy life.
Yes.
Everything else will click into place if you can just get the things at home where they need to. So you want to start off 2017 with some happy home, happy love, that type of work that will help to smooth out any difficulties you've experienced, any type of rough spots, and really bring the relationship where it needs to be to that right ideal moment for you, because that's going to be the rock by which you can build everything else up. The next thing I see for 2017 that's very important that I want to mention, and that is the Chariot card that appeared in your career. There's going to be movement in regards to your career, and it's going to be a change, and it's going to be a little bit slow moving, and it's going to require some assistance. This is where you're going to require some magical work as well as the aid of some partner. Once that that stability that you have found in your relationship is sorted, it's going to click and manifest in a shift in your career, a change in the trajectory of where you're headed. And that Chariot card tells us that it's going to be one of victory and success. It will come around the time of your birthday. So it's not going to be right in the beginning of the year. It'll come around the time of your birthday. Be patient with it. Look to allies that will help you and do some magical work to help speed it along. But there are really kind of three forces that are at work here. One, removing what you've had to deal with in the past year, stabilizing your relationship, building that rock, that happy home upon which you can build going forward. I see it being good. I see it being very positive there. And then a very big career shift for you coming up in 2017. This could be a promotion. This could be new money. It can be a new opportunity. But it is a big shift that's going to come your way, and it's going to build towards something much bigger. So that's what I see here. I'm going to turn this to
my
friend, Professor Ames, who can give you further insight.
Thank you.
Hello, Professor Ames? Uh-oh. Have we lost Professor Ames?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. All right. Well, I'm just going to have to jump in then. I was hoping he would come in with some fabulous astrological reading. And I'm just going to pull out some cards then. And I hope Professor Ames comes back. Oh, there he is.
I'm in the host queue.
So, Professor Ames, you got you there? Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
There
yes.
you are. Great. Okay.
Yeah,
take it away.
Okay, good. So I was just rambling on here. I read the Lenormand card. They're a little bit different here. And I lay all 36 out. So we've got the whole thing spread out here as well. I will selectively pick and actually reinforce a lot of the things that Continuality was saying. Definitely an emphasis here on relationship. If things have been a little, I'll say, hazy the past year, I think kind of solidifying the relationship is going to be very important. Emphasizing especially the friendship bond that the two of you have. And I feel there's also a very kind of karmic connection between the two of you. So even if things are a little I don't know, at times a little soft or a little unsure or unclear, because I'm seeing the ring with the clouds. go back and look at the basis of the relationship. Really strong friendship, building the social activities that you'll do together. Plan for some of those. And really have faith that there's a strong karmic connection that the two of you have. I'm seeing that very, very clearly here.
Yeah, I've always said that too. That's crazy.
That's
pick
awesome.
That up.
That's really awesome. Then I'm also looking at work. I see your ideas. You've had an idea for work. Maybe it's starting your own business or changing careers, as Kondra Mali implied. That's really been mulling around your head for quite a while.
I actually applied to grad school, so I'm hoping I get accepted.
Okay. So I see that change. Definitely, there's some magical aspect that you want to apply to this. I've got the clover beside the box.
Okay.
Whatever your work situation is, it seems like there's some conflict or worries about some woman at work that you're probably dealing with right now. It's going to come to an end, so transcend that. Don't worry about it. Keep moving forward with that. You mentioned school. Here with the tower, I have the lily and the bouquet. That is an offer. So that looks very positive as far as going into grad school. So look forward to that. The lilies implies also maybe the help of someone who is older or more mature. If you have connections with a professor that you had or someone who can write you a nice letter, that's always a great benefit for kind of pushing that along. But definitely that the lilies is someone who's either literally, you know, white hair, or someone who is in a position of wisdom, and a professor.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Okay. So hit them up for some additional boost there, like a letter of recommendation, those kinds of things.
Awesome.
Let's see. You may have gotten some news about travel that looks like it's going to be held off for a while or delayed. So I don't see a lot of travel for you coming up, at least the first part of the year. It may show back up a little bit later. And those are kind of some of the main themes I see for you there. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much, Professor Amy.
It's wonderful.
Okay. Well, that's real interesting. Now, I am very interested in what your year is going to be from the standpoint of what you are hoping for, because I can give you some root work advice. They mentioned certain aspects of your life, the relationship, the career changes, which you said you applied to grad school. So what I'm interested in here is, if I were to give you one spell, because we don't have all the time in the world here, which would you rather that be around? The relationship, around grad school, around travel, the different things that were mentioned?
Well, I'm pretty secure in my relationship. So I think I can work on that. But the school part would probably be something that I'm more worried about versus the relationship and the travel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All righty. So we're gonna talk about that. So I have a question. What is the field in which you are applying to grad school?
Occupational therapy.
Occupational therapy. All right. Okay, so what I'm going to do is, first of all, if as a Cancer with the Moon in Taurus, that's an excellent occupation for you. And I don't know if any astrologer has ever told has anyone ever told you that before?
I've actually been told that there's healers in my family line, that's something that's probably why I'm interested in it. So
yes.
That's good
to
have it validated.
Well, yes. The sign of Cancer is always a sign of a healer, a figure who could be anywhere between a mother and a cook on the one hand to a nurse, doctor, a psychiatrist, or social worker, very much involved in care and help. Taurus is very practical and physical, so occupational therapy rather than psychiatry, you see? So very good combination for you. Do you happen to know what your rising sign is?
I have it on my astro.com website, but I don't have it up.
Okay,
I want to
that's
know
fine.
Why.
I don't. I know that's all right. That's okay. I don't need to know. Okay, I'm going to make you a recommendation as far as the occupational therapy and the grad school work. Now, this is root work to do. I'd like you to make a little place, a little something, a nice little wooden box, a little bowl with a lid, something just pretty that you don't mind having it on a shelf. You don't have to have it out on an altar. You don't have to have all your ancestors around you. Just a little container, but not just a mason jar. It should be something that other people are not going to see in what's inside of it, but it should be something that you can get into and out of. In other words, not a bottle. So different people use different kinds of things, a pretty box, a little brass container with a lid on it, whatever you like. It's going to be something you're going to look at for quite a while. I tend to like wood. I don't know why. I guess because I am a Taurus. But you're going to get that little container is going to be what some people call a wish box, but it's also a spell box. Okay. And first of all, you're going to write into it some of the things you want. You can, when I say write into it, if it has a way to paste down or literally write with a pencil or pen inside of it, you can do that. Or you're just going to write on paper and put those papers in. Put in your prayers and wishes. Limit yourself to the top three, whatever they may be, that I will go to grad school and have a good mentor, that I will graduate with a high GPA, that I will find a job suitable to my skills, talents, and at a rate of pay commensurate with my worth. You know, those are three wishes I just gave you, but they could be your three wishes. You might say that I move to Denver, or that you might say that I don't have to move to Denver, whatever it is, you know. So you get put three wishes in to this box. Now, in the box, you're going to put in a little bit of sugar. And you can scent that sugar, if you want to, with a little bit of vanilla. You can use vanilla food extract if you have nothing else. Don't make it so goopy and goppy that it sticks together, just a little bit of vanilla. Mm. And you're going to put in candied ginger. And those who know me go, oh, there she goes with her candied ginger again. ginger is a very heating up, makes things happen fast, but it's very sweet. Mm. It's got a little bite. So just a couple of pieces, slices of candied ginger. It's already covered with sugar, so just stick it in there. And you're going to put in a little bit of cinnamon. Just a little bit of cinnamon. Now, that container that you have there, is be careful now. You don't want ants to get in it. So if you have ants where you live, you're going to want to make that in, out of something that cannot be opened up by ants. If you want to take a container that seals, like a small baby food jar, and put it in a pretty wooden box, that's okay too. But this box is not to be, it's not to be something kitchen looking. It's supposed to be something nice. Now, around this box or bowl or whatever you're going to do, when you use it, you can take the lid off inside and open it up. But when you're not using it, you just put it away and it looks nice. You're going to put some little things that make you feel good. They could be a photo of the university where you're going to go, or a photo of your grandmother who was herself a healer. Whatever it is, things that remind you or make you think of the work that you are embarking on. Right? Maybe it's just a good strong tree, makes you think of someone having a good strong spine. Whatever it is, a graceful deer makes you think of restoring someone's grace, or maybe a cat. Cats are well known for healing because they're so
full. I have one. So.
Okay. So any kind of pictures like that you're going to put around, you can put a little flower arrangement. It could be silk flowers or whatever. But that's not going to be understood by people. They're just going to, every time you walk by it, you're going to notice it. But when you want to work with it, you take it out, and I want you to take a little bit of that mixture, that sugar with the cinnamon in it. When you're going to go to talk to somebody, when you're going to go apply, take a little bit of that, put it in your mouth so that your mouth is as expresses your three wishes, and that your mouth is sweet, you see? So this is a way to continually work for the influencing those people who you need to influence to get into grad school. Okay?
Awesome.
Good luck to you.
Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, here comes our network schedule announcement.
Oh. LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rural Power with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, To Which the Priestess and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our freestyle segment with Professor Ames of Skullbone Emporium in Fort Collins, Colorado. Take it away, Professor Ames.
Thank you so much, Papa Newt. I have two that I'm just going to take out of the long-lost friends. They're both about compelling a thief to return your stolen goods. And they both, interestingly, involve trees. So the first thing, early in the morning before sunrise, go to a pear tree and take with you three nails out of a coffin. Here again is our coffin nail. Or three horseshoe nails that were never used. And holding these toward the rising sun, you must say, O thief, I bind thee by the first nail which I drive into thy skull and thy brain to return the goods thou hast stolen to the former place. Thou shalt feel as sick and as anxious to see men and to see the place you stole from, as felt the disciple Judas after betraying Jesus. I bind thee by the other nail which I drive into your lungs and liver to return the stolen goods to their former place. Thou shalt feel as sick and as anxious to see men and to see the place you have stolen from, as did Pilate in the fires of hell. The third nail I drive into thy foot, O thief, in order that thou shalt return the stolen goods to the very same place from which thou hast stolen them. O thief, I bind thee and compel thee by the three holy nails which were driven through the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to return the stolen goods to the very same place from which thou hast stolen them. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, Holman follows it up with the last line, which says, the three nails, however, must be greased with the grease from an executed criminal or other sinful person. So you can obtain grease from an executed criminal. We got the spell for you here. It probably will work well without that also. The other equally morbid spell is a little shorter, but walk out early in the morning before sunrise to a juniper tree and bend it with the left hand toward the rising sun while you are saying, juniper tree, I shall bend and squeeze thee until the thief has returned the stolen goods to the place from which he took them. Then you take a stone and place it under the bush and on top of the bush, and on the stone you must place the skull of a malefactor, which again is a criminal, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet you must be careful in case the thief returns the stolen goods to unloose the bush and replace the stone where it was before. It doesn't give us indication of where we replace the skull of the criminal. So there
wow.
You have the use of criminals and fat or the skull of a criminal to force the return of stolen goods from another thief. So it's using, I guess, evil against evil in a way. So
wow.
A very fascinating couple of spells there. Give you a little taste of some of the things that are in, more of the usual things that are in powwow.
Well, I got to say something here, because you mentioned you don't say where you're supposed to return that skull to, and it is omitted
right.
in this spell. But if you were to read Johannes Gardbach's book, Trolldom, you'll find that the borrowing of bones from graves that are around a churchyard. Now, in those countries in the north, the church is in the center, and the graveyard actually kind of surrounds it. And
yes.
You borrow bones for many purposes. In other words, you might borrow a bone to make someone fall in love, or you might borrow a bone to get a thief to return goods. But in the Scandinavian form of this, you always have to return the bone to the grave from which it came. You cannot keep that bone. So I would think, and that's just my sense of it, that since this is part of that Germanic Nordic tradition, that's probably where that skull goes. It goes back. You wouldn't keep it on your bookcase, you know.
That makes sense, too, because it's your using a restless spirit of sorts, right?
Yeah.
And so you've taken something, and you're saying, unless I get my thing back, I'm not returning this thing either, so to speak. Right?
Yes.
I'm not returning this bone. And once the bone is returned, then it is. So that's the use of it is. These traditions are fascinating, right? You're using, you know, the reason why criminals are used or what is that they're restless spirits, right?
Yeah.
And they're to make the thief restless until they return back. It's also why nailing to the tree. I mean, this is some great, great stuff here.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to give a big shout out and thanks Professor Porterfield, who is putting transcriptions of these into the chat room. And he's finished transcribing the one with the three nails, and let's hope he gets the juniper bush one too. And juniper bushes in Germanic magic and folklore and in Grimm's fairy tales are always referred to the dead. And there is a Grimm's fairy tale, for instance, in which there is a whole little story about a bone that's made into a flute and laid beneath a juniper tree and so forth. So that is another aspect of why the juniper is used in that spell, because the skull is used. And the juniper has a death-like quality to it in Germanic folk magic. Really, really amazing amazing stuff. Juniper berries, Conjure Manali points out, juniper berries are used for love. Because they're used to flavor gin. And gin is used to make people tipsy. And when they're tipsy, they might have sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what in blues is called graveyard love.
or juniper, in particular juniper berries, willingness, right? It's not just love, it's making them willing, which is
great. That's
right. I love the spell that you shared, Professor Ames, here, because again, you can see the, you know, clearly the cultural element of where the powwows are coming from, bones of a thief or a murderer or whatnot, but also elements of it that are very familiar to people who practice voodoo. A lot of finding thieves and returning lost objects are very similar in voodoo, right? Working with graveyard dirt, working with nails, coffin nails, right? This is stuff that really shows you how folk traditions globally, they have some sympathy, right? There's certain elements that if you saw someone, a Hexenmeister and a root doctor sit down, they could actually have a conversation and go, oh yeah, we do that, right? They could actually see a lot in common in what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the wonderful thing about America. We do blend and mix these things, and we are, in the best of times, we are friendly allies and supporters of one another. And there is much mingling in all of these cultures. Don't let anyone think that this is a one-way path, that Germanic and Scandinavian folk magic got through powwows into hoodoo and nothing came back the other way, because as we know, and we've done mention of it before, Wiccans and neo-pagans of the Anglo-Saxon tradition use a tremendous amount of hoodoo, especially in their candle magic. And you know, it's a big tossed salad of different ingredients in American traditions. So I just want to say that this has been a wonderful topic, and I love to see it. And I want people to understand, who are listening to this, that hoodoo is African-American. But this is a little melody that got brought in from somewhere else, just like the jug band waltz. Hey, it's a waltz, but it's played by black people in Memphis. What can you say? Take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjure Man Ali, and thank you, Professor Ames of SkullboneEmporium.com and Fort Collins, Colorado, for being our guest this week. as a reminder, we will be doing reruns on the December 25th and January 1st, and do invite you to tune in when we're back live on January 8th. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man Ali at conjuremanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa New, joining you from papanew.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next, well, January 8th, when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody, and goodbye.
Thank you very much, Papa Newt. 2016 has been an interesting trip. I want to thank everybody who stuck with us through the thick, the thin, the ups, the downs. And thank you, Professor Ames, for being our guest. It was lovely to have you here.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you, Countryman Ali, for your constant companionship.
Always a pleasure.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Happy holidays.
Right now at the Disneyland Resort, you can save when you stay just steps away from all the magic. Save up to 25% on select rooms at a Disneyland Resort hotel. Visit Disneyland.com or call your travel agent to book for select nights now through April 12, 2018. There's no better time to get more happy. Savings based on the non-discounted price for the same room at the same hotel excludes applicable fees and taxes, subject to restrictions and change without notice. Separate theme park admission required to enjoy the parks. Right now at the Disneyland Resort, you can save when you stay just steps away from all the magic. Save up to 25% on select rooms at a Disneyland Resort hotel. Visit Disneyland.com or call your travel agent to book for select nights now through April 12, 2018. There's no better time to get more happy. Savings based on the non-discounted price for the same room at the same hotel excludes applicable fees and taxes, subject to restrictions and change without notice. Separate theme park admission required to enjoy the parks.